Welcome to Ikoyi Baptist Church. Thank you for tuning into our podcast services. Listen and be blessed.
We started in our journey experiencing God, and it's been wonderful. It's been awesome. How many of us can testify that it's been awesome? I don't know about you, but it's been awesome to me. And I look forward to experiencing God more and more. I trust the Lord that as we go through His Word, as we go through our study again today, the Lord will reveal Himself to us in a very unique way. This study, particularly that we are going to talk about today, has opened my eyes to so many things again. And I believe that God Almighty will also open our eyes as we fellowship together, as we look into the Word of God together. Shall we pray together? What a privilege, Father, to study at your feet. Lord, anytime you call your people to come into your presence to worship you, it's because you are about to do something in their lives again. Thank you for the express invitation you have extended unto us to come to you. Lord, I pray that you will open our eyes to see beyond what we have known before. Open our eyes and grant us the grace to connect with you where you are at work around us already. Grant us grace, Lord God Almighty, at the end of today's service. This message will lead to commitments. It will lead to rededication of lives. It will bring sinners to come to salvation. And it will refresh our spirit, soul, and body. Lord, I have not come with eloquence. I have not come with words of men. I have not come with ordinary words. I have come with the assurance that there will be demonstration of the Spirit's power. So, Lord, I surrender to you that you have your way. Bless us all together. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. So far, God has been so good to us. We've gone through units 1 to 5. Last Sunday, we were in unit 5, but today we are going to unit 6 by the grace of God. But before we go on, can we recite together the first four realities of experiencing God? The first four realities of experiencing God. By now, we should be getting to knowing all of them, but let's recite the four. The first one, and I want you to personalize it as you say it. Number one, God is always at work around me. Can we say it again? God is always at work around me. All right. The second reality is what? God pursues a continuing love relationship with me that is real. God pursues what? A continuing love relationship with me that is real and personal. In fact, as you are here this morning, God is still pursuing a love relationship with you. And I pray that it will be real to you. It will be personal to us in Jesus' name. Number three, reality. God invites us to become involved with Him in His work. God invites us. God has given us express invitation. And you are going to see from some of the texts we are going to see today that God initiates that relationship. God is the one inviting us. He's the one leading us. It is God that is at work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So the fourth reality is what? God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church. To do what? To reveal Himself, His purposes, and His ways. God speaks. Even after we have started, since we began this service today, has God been speaking to you? God speaks. And we thank God that last week, through our pastor, we were able to see the first part of God speaks. So today we are looking at the second part. And as I was praying again this morning, it came to my mind that we have to do this second time because, see, this issue of God speaking is so critical in our Christian life. Every other thing that we are talking about, we cannot experience them if God is not speaking to you. And so that's why we had to look at it generally last week, and our pastor did a wonderful job helping us to look at it comprehensively. In fact, some of the things he spoke about last Sunday, we'll still be talking about them today, but I will not emphasize some of them because he dealt with them seriously last Sunday. I'll just point our attention to one or two things. But I want you to know that this issue of God speaking is so critical. It is so critical to enjoying God. We were able to establish last week and through our study for Unit 5 that God speaks in different ways. Abby? He speaks in different ways. We have said some of that he speaks through the Bible. And of course, you say the Bible is the main way. Every other thing has to be found in the Bible, has to be established in the Word of God. God speaks through dreams, through visions, through inner witness, through praise and worship, through singing, everything. God speaks in many ways. But we look at it that there are about four things that our attention have been drawn to. Number one, when God speaks, the experience is always unique to the individual. It is always unique. God usually doesn't replicate encounters. And when God is going to speak to you, it's going to be unique to you. It's not something that you want to say, okay, because he has done it this way, he must do it in somebody else's life. It's unique to you. When God speaks, we can be sure that God is speaking. We will know, because we can see in the Bible, some of them that were asking questions, it's not that God they didn't know, but they were afraid. They were afraid, so they had crisis of belief. You will know when God is speaking to you. And also we can know what God is saying. So not only that we will know, but we will know this is what God is saying. And lastly, we learn that an encounter with God's word is an encounter with God himself. So when you encounter God's word, when you read God's word, when you study God's word, you are actually encountering God himself. So God speaks in different ways. But no, we can narrow these ways down to what we have talked about in the fourth reality of experiencing God. God speaks in various ways, but majorly God speaks through the Bible, through prayers, through circumstances, and then through his church. A Christian who does not know when God is speaking is in trouble at the heart of his Christian life. That's what Eric Kabage said. And I know that we discuss it in our group. He's in trouble. When you say somebody is in trouble, what does it mean? Someone that is in trouble, what does it mean? Huh? Somebody says he's in trouble. It means he's in trouble. To be in trouble means that, it's a bad situation. You can't help yourself. There is nothing you can do. It's a terrible situation. That person is in soup. So, if you can't hear when God speaks to you, there is problem. If as Christians you can't hear God speaking to you, let me tell you, you will probably not be different from an unbeliever. Do you hear what I'm saying? If as a Christian you can't know when God is speaking, what makes you different from an unbeliever? Because one of the things that when God speaks to us by his Spirit is that it's to guide us, not to fall into error, not to run into troubles, and so that we can be led to fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. So why will I be a Christian and I'll be comfortable that God is not speaking to me or that I'm not hearing from God? I shouldn't be comfortable. It must drive me to my knees to say, God, I want to hear you speak to me. And I pray that God Almighty will steer somebody's heart this morning. That if God has not been speaking to you or you have not been hearing God, it will drive you to your knees this morning. And as you go through this experiencing God's study, particularly to say, God, I want to hear you clearly. I want to hear you clearly. I want you to speak to me. I want to be able to hear your voice. So, God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. So, in Unit 6, our verse, our passage for Unit 6 is what? John chapter 5, verse 19. I hope we are memorizing these verses. The best way to do this, we have been taught from the very first day, tear that particular part and take it around wherever you go. Wherever you go. All right. I think I have it in another suit I was going to wear before today. I already picked it. Tear it and go around and read and read and read. If you want to say, okay, I will memorize everything. You know, I hope you are not getting discouraged at all these memory verses. Week 1, week 2, week 3. If I want to put us to test now, say, read all the memory verses. And so some people will say, okay, let me go out of the church. But it's not difficult. But please turn to page 112. Turn page 112 in your study, in your book. Page 112. which is, we are reading John chapter 5, verse 19. John chapter 5, verse 19. Can we read together John 5, 19? Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Now, if you look at the context of this passage, John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, Jesus gave them this answer. Who are the people that Jesus Christ gave the answer? You will discover that they are the Jewish leaders. After Jesus Christ was able to draw somebody out of sickness, there was this man that was had been healed for how many years? 38 years, and was at the pool of Bethesda, waiting for somebody to come and help him out. But God eventually what a plan didn't happen, that somebody would be able to throw him inside the water, because anytime he attempted to do that, somebody will always go before him. But when Jesus Christ came, he didn't need to jump inside the water again. God restored him. He restored his health. And after then, the Jewish leaders started complaining that, why will you do this on a Sabbath day? On a Sabbath day. They are not concerned that somebody has been delivered. But they are only saying that, no. Jesus Christ was not following the rules and regulations. Can you imagine that somebody has been set free and some people are not happy? But nevertheless, Jesus Christ had to reply that what I didn't just do it on my own. No, it was because the Father was at work around me. And the only thing I did was to obey God, my Father, to do whatever he has asked me to do. So Jesus Christ never did anything by himself. He only does or what sees the Father doing. And I pray that God Almighty will open our eyes as Christians, that we will not do anything by ourselves. As you wake up tomorrow morning, as you are going to work, you will not do anything by yourself. You will see God at work around you. You will listen to God and follow him. I've heard some people say, okay, no, do I need to pray about this? Everything that we need to do, we must have God's perspectives. We must always defer to God. There is nothing that we can say, okay, no, this is just secular. Or this is just, is it not just about my business? God is interested in your life, he's interested in your family, and he's interested in your business. So everything that we do must be at the prompt. The Holy Spirit must be prompting us to do them. God Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. I asked this question with my group. Can you imagine having an earthly father who doesn't speak to you? Or you don't hear him when he's speaking? If you have an earthly father who doesn't speak to you, or when he's speaking, you don't hear. Is there a problem? That is a problem on his own. That the father that gave birth to you, that the father that God used to bring you to the world, is speaking to you and you don't hear him. Or he doesn't speak to you. That is an anomaly. So as a Christian, it must bother us that we have God as our father and we are not hearing him. It must take us to the point whereby we say, God, whatever it will take. Because if you have a father that when he speaks to you as an early father and you don't hear me, you're only bearing his name. And there is nothing good that can come out except God helps you. So our father is someone that wants to speak to us. He wants to communicate to us. And our study, one of the ways that God does that is through prayer. We looked at the word last week, but our study today is looking at the prayer. And then we have been made to know that prayer is two-way fellowship and what? Fellowship and what? Communication. Fellowship and communication. So when we come to the place of prayer, we have come to fellowship and we have come to communicate. So it is two-way. So two-way fellowship, two-way communication. Do you know that most times when people say they want to pray, what is in their mind? They want to tell God something. They want to tell God about their problems. They want to tell God about their needs. If you look at the book of Exodus chapter 19, verse 3. Exodus 19:3. Please, let's look at Exodus 19:3. Media, if you can help us. Exodus chapter 19, verse 3. The Bible said, then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. So the first thing Moses would do, God invited him. He went up to God. So the first thing about Moses is to have fellowship with God. And I love the way some other translations has put this. I think in NLT, say Moses went to appear, went to God to appear. New Living Translation. Good News Bible say Moses went to meet with God. So what is prayer? Prayer is a place of meeting with who? It's a place of meeting with who? It's a place of meeting with God. You know, in Mark chapter 3 verse 14, when Jesus Christ called the 12 apostles, he called them to first of all be with him. And then he will send them out to preach. So prayer is not a one-way conversation. God does not operate a public complaint commission. Do you hear what I said? God does not operate a public complaint commission. So why all that you want to do is to come and lodge your complaint. Come and say all that you have. And then waiting for, let them come and give me answer later on. You know what happens most of the time when we say we want to pray? We have only come to dump our requests before God. God, take care of my journey as I go out. God, take care of my children as they go to school. God, take care of my job. God, take care of my business. God, take care of this, take care of that. Take care of my shoe. Take care of my clothes. Take care of my car. And so when we wake up in the morning, some people say, pray. Pastor said we should pray. As I'm going out today, Father be with me in Jesus' name. And then you go. Or some people say, plus Jesus, minus Satan. You go. That is not prayer. Prayer is first of all what? Having a meeting with God. Coming to enjoy fellowship with God. Coming to, for God to appear to you. You know the reason why most of the time we don't hear God when we pray? It's because we don't expect to hear God. We only expect God to hear us. Hear my complaint. I'm going out. Hear my complaint. In fact, some people, they will have left home. Maybe they are driving out of their estate. When they are about to get to the gates, I've not prayed. God, as I'm going to Ibadan, please be with me. If it's not your will for me to go, let me have flat tire. And then I will come back. That is not prayer. That kind of prayer, we are only using God. So prayer is not a one-way communication. It is two ways. We have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with the Father. We have communication with the Father. Our Father speaks to us because he initiates that fellowship. And I love the way that Jesus Christ will always pray. Anytime he wants to, he say, Father, I thank you because you always hear me. That tells you about somebody that's always enjoying constant fellowship with the Father. The more you spend time with someone, the more you know them. The more you know someone, the better you can tell when they are speaking to you. Do you agree with me? The more you spend time with someone, the more you will know them. And the more you know someone, the better you can tell when they are speaking to you. Our elderly ones, I mean, they are not in church now, but they can bear witness to this. Those who have been married for 30, 40 years. They've come, they've grown to know one another. Some are here, married for 30 years, 25 years. They've come to know, and God has helped them in their relationship. To the extent that they have known each other for a long time, and then there are some things that they will communicate within one another that some of you around may not hear. They will not understand. Coded word that they will say. They can be in a meeting with other people, but they will pass the message across. And then, even me that I've not been married for a long time, I know that when we go somewhere with my wife sometime, there's a particular sign she will give me, and I know that it's time to go. Let's go home. We have come to visit somebody. I may give her a sign. I don't have to say, dear, let us go home. Why? We've been with each other for some time. We are learning to know one another. There are times that my wife will call me. what should we prepare for you? And I said, what options do you have? We have, is it amala? Is it rice? Is it beans? Is it pounded yam? Is it, okay. I said, okay, you can prepare this. I said, okay, what do you think I should choose? But there are times that my wife will not call me at all. And she will prepare something because she knows I like that particular food. So no matter what, anytime I get back home and she prepares that food, she knows that I will never say no. She has come to understand that. You know, I'm saying this because the same thing with God, our Father. If you have fellowship with God, your Father, there are certain things that when it comes to you, you don't ask, you don't go say, God, I'm not saying you are not going to pray, but it won't bother you because you know that this is no for my Father. There are certain things you have to say when you say, I want to take this in, Father, I need your help. Please help me. How do I go about this? But there are certain things that God knows that I know this one. I can step into the situation. When you come to be with people, you know their likes and their dislikes. You know when they are what can make them to be angry. You know what can make them to be happy. You know what can make them to smile. You know what can make them to bring money out of their pocket to give you. It's because we have been together. The same thing with God our Father. When we study his word, we know his likes and his dislikes. When we fellowship with him, when we pray, he speaks to us and we're able to know these are the things that God hears. These are the things that God loves. These are the things that God doesn't love. The question most of the time people ask is, how can I hear or know when God is saying something to me? And I want to say there's no formula. All you need to do is just to spend time with him, to spend time to know your God. When you spend time in his word, you know what makes him angry. You know what he likes. You know what obsesses God. You know what God doesn't like. So when I'm asking for God for one thing and something different is coming, I begin to do what? I begin to adjust my life. God will begin to tell me that this is what I want you to focus on. I will not insist, God, this is what I'm looking for. You must do it this way. You must do it. Why? Because God has the best plan for my life. Now, in page 115, it captioned there, it says, God will let you know what he is doing in your life, when and if you need to know. God will let you know what he is doing in your life, when and if you need to know them. His timing is always right and best. And I tell you this morning, somebody, God's timing is the right for you. God's timing is the best for you. And may you enjoy whatever you are trusting God for at his own time in the mighty name of Jesus. You may say, I want it now. But God says, it's not yet time. It's not yet time, maybe because that thing is not ready for you or because you are not ready for that thing. But God makes all things beautiful in his own time. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to the power that worketh in us. That is what God. Sometimes what you are looking for is so small. God is thinking beyond what you have. And when that thing is time for you to get it, you click to it. So God speaks to us through prayers. But we have to spend time to be with him. God speaks to us through circumstances. Now, this is a very tough one for me because sometimes circumstances in our lives may appear negative. I know if you agree with me. Circumstances in our life may appear negative. Sometimes it is positive. But whether positive by our own understanding or negative, God speaks. And I tell somebody this morning, God speaks. Circumstances are events in our lives through which God chooses to speak. Events in our lives through which God speaks to us. You know, you can receive an unexpected phone call, and that can be the answer to what you are looking for. Hello? You know, some things can be missing in your house and you are looking for it and you can't find it, and God may speak to you through it. And I shared with you when I was looking for my old Experiencing God book the last time. I checked, I couldn't find it until Holy Spirit telling me, what are you looking for? You can't find it because you are looking for 23-year-old experience. And I want to deal with you in a very fresh way. God spoke to me. You know, sometimes, husbands, you are going out, you are looking for your car key, and you can't find it. And you go everywhere. My wife, where's the car key? Even though you are the one that drove it yesterday. Where's my car key? Ah, darling, I'm not the one. Say, ah, but you drove it yesterday. Where is my car key? I can't find it. And you are shouting. Maybe after 10 minutes, you now saw it somewhere. And you now go out. And as you are driving out of your gate, they tell you that armed robbers just left. Have you heard something like that before? You won't know that God actually used that to slow you down. That you don't run into evil. God can use that to speak to us. Every area in our lives. But you know, of course, sometimes men, we see you with face. Instead of you to go back and say, Dali, I'm sorry for how you say, we see, let's forget about it. Forget about what? Just say, I'm sorry. God speaks through circumstances in our lives. God uses them to slow us down. I want you to show you something in Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. To see how God used a particular circumstance to speak to someone. Numbers 22. I'm sure you are familiar with the story of Balaam and his donkey. Balaam and his donkey. Numbers chapter 22, verse 21. Permit me, as I read, I will make some comments to draw our attention to one or two things. Numbers 22 from verse 21. Balaam got up in the morning. He saddled his donkey and went with the Moabite. Balaam got up in the morning. Can you remember that this journey was not initiated by God? Do you remember that this journey was not initiated by God? If you look at the chapter before then, chapter 22, God already told him, verse 12, do not go with them. He said, don't go with them. But he insisted. Later on, he's like, God just said, okay, if that's what you want to do. So God didn't initiate this journey. And he started going. But God was very angry when he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the road to oppose him. May God not oppose you. I say, may God not oppose you. Can you imagine? If God himself will stand on the way to oppose you, who else can deliver you? God stood and opposed him. Balaam was riding on his donkey and his two servants were with him. When the donkey saw, somebody said the donkey saw. Say the donkey saw. Can you imagine? It was the donkey that saw. The owner of the donkey didn't see. The donkey saw the angel of the Lord, standing in the road with a drawn sword in his hand. He turned off the road into a field. Balaam did what? Balaam beat it to get it back on the road. Balaam did what? Balaam beat the donkey. Get back to the road. What are you saying? Balaam was using force. You know, as I was praying this morning, the Holy Spirit said, as you tell somebody here, that person you are beating, you are not supposed to beat him or her. Is somebody hearing me this morning? There's a relationship here that has to do with beating. God is not happy with you. God asked me to tell somebody that, say, that person you are beating is not the one that is wrong. You are the one that is wrong. That person, that relationship that you are beating is not the person that is wrong. You are the one that is wrong. And when I'm talking about beating here, it goes beyond physical beating. That person you are accusing wrongly is not the one that is wrong. You are the one that is wrong. The Bible said, then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path through the vineyards with walls on both sides. When the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, it pressed close to the wall, crushing Balaam's foot against it. So he beat the donkey again. I want you to begin to see the donkey beyond donkey. What did he do? Second time. Why are you doing this? Then the angel of the Lord moved ahead and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn either to the right or to the left. So God did everything to corner Balaam. Then 28. Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth. And he said to Balaam, what have I done to you to make you beat me these three times? Why have you been beating me? And God is telling somebody, why have you been beating? Why have you been beating me? These three times. The donkey was forced to open his mouth. First time, he kept quiet. Second time, he kept quiet, but God opened his mouth. Why are you beating me? What did I do to you? Why are you beating me? Balaam answered the donkey, you have made a fool of me. You are disgracing me. Why are you disgracing me like that? If only I had a sword in my hand, I will kill you right now. The donkey said to Balaam, am I not your own donkey? Which you have always ridden to this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? It's like somebody saying, am I not the same? Am I not your brother that we've been together? Am I not your wife? Am I not your husband? Am I not the same person that we have always been together? Why? I have been with you to this day. Have I been in the habit of doing this to you? Have I been opposing you this way? Have I not been submitting to you? No, he said. Then the Lord opened Balaam's eye. I pray that this morning God will open Balaam's eyes. I said God will open Balaam's eye. God will open somebody's eye this morning. This service will not end without God opening your eyes. May God open every Balaam's eye in the Ikoyi Baptist Church this morning in Jesus' name. Everyone hearing us on live stream, may the Lord open your eyes to see that you are the one that is wrong. When God opened his eye, he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the road with his sword drawn. So he bowed low, and fell face down. Then the angel of the Lord asked him, why have you beaten your donkey these three times? I have come here to oppose you because your path is a reckless one. That path you are following is a reckless one. Don't let God deal with you. Don't let God punish you. I said the path you are taking is a reckless one. Let God open your eyes. Let God use this circumstance of this message that you are hearing today to open your eyes so that you know that you are the one that needs to go back to God to ask for forgiveness. We must always see circumstances from God's perspective. Jesus saw circumstances from God's perspective. And that's what we can see in John chapter 5, verse 17, as we read the other time. So, in page 117, it says, to understand your bad or difficult circumstances, God's perspective is what? God's perspective is what? It's vital. If you are going to understand your bad or difficult circumstances, your positive or negative situation you are going through, God's perspective is vital. You must see things the way God is seeing them. You must see the things the way God wants you to see them. When we look at God from the middle of our circumstances, from the middle of our pains, from the middle of disappointment, from the middle of our griefs, we will always have a distorted understanding of God. Do you believe that? And that is what Black Abbey is calling attention to. If you see God, you begin to look to God in the middle of your situation. If you begin to see what is happening to you around you, and you are not with a God perspective, that God is doing something in your life, you begin to say, God doesn't love me. Why is God wicked to me? Why has God abandoned me? Do you remember what happened in John chapter 11? When Lazarus was sick and eventually died, the sisters wanted Jesus Christ to come, but he didn't come after 4 days. Our pastor emphasized it last week. But eventually, Jesus Christ came. But you know, Lazarus came back to life. But you know, when I was reading again this morning, the Holy Spirit tells me that when God is working in our lives sometimes, God will not prevent death from taking place. Because God knows that there will be resurrection after death. And it is that resurrection that will bring glory to God. I pray this morning, somebody will experience resurrection. For everyone going through pain this morning, for everyone going through sorrow this morning, for everyone listening to the sound of my voice wherever you are this morning, God will bring about resurrection in the name of Jesus. God will resurrect your hope. God will resurrect your dreams. God will resurrect everything that is dead in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. Always go back to God and ask him to show you his perspective on your circumstances. That's what is on page 119. We must always go back to God. So when things that are not good happen to us, where do we go back to? So instead of complaining, instead of crying, go back to God. Because you are never alone. I tell somebody, you are never alone. You are never alone. In the middle of that situation, God is with you. Do you know that even before that thing happened, God is aware? And there are things that God will not stop from happening sometimes. God will allow them. But at the end of the day, the joy will come. Weeping may endure for a night. What comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. Always go back to God. You know, one of the things we have learned about prayer is that what God is saying to us is more important than what we want to say to him in the place of prayer. Always go back to God. That is when you can know the truth of your circumstances. And that's why I want to say you need to know the truth of your circumstance. There is a difference between facts and truth. Somebody agree with me? There's a difference between facts and truth. You know, something happened in Genesis chapter 39. And I want to use this to explain the difference between facts and truth. Genesis 39 from verse 11. That has to do with Joseph and Potiphar. Let me ask your church. Let me ask you a question. Or let me ask you some question. Was there a day Joseph and Mrs. Potiphar, was there a day they were together? Was there a day? Was there a day? No. Yes. Genesis chapter 39. In fact, the way he said one day. Can you see? One day. He, who is he there? Joseph went into the house to attend to his duties. So there was a day that, let's read the finish. And none of the household servants was. So was there a day that Joseph and Mrs. Potiphar, was there a day that they were together? Alone, nobody was there. Was there a day that Potiphar was talking with Joseph? Was there a day they were talking? Was there a day that Mrs. Potiphar had Joseph's clock in his hand? In fact, that was an evidence. But let me ask you, is it true that Joseph slept with Mrs. Potiphar? It is not true. But there are facts. Somebody can run and say, hey, see his cloth. As he was trying to rape me. If I say the man, he said he was trying to sleep with me. Was there a day that Joseph was trying to sleep with her? Was there a day he was saying, no, I must sleep with you today? But there were evidences. And he couldn't deliver himself. Because there was evidence. If not, how will your cloak get into her hand? If not, that something was trying to happen. There are people here, you can't defend yourself, but God will defend you. Is somebody hearing me this morning? There are certain things that have happened in your life, there are evidences around you. People don't believe you. People don't believe you. People don't believe you at all because everything is pointing that you did it. But let me see, if nobody believes you, God believes you. And the truth of the situation will come out in Jesus' name. So there's a difference between facts and truth. Some of us here this morning, you are holding to facts. You know, facts are like data. They are like physical evidences. All you are holding on to now are facts. You are holding on to the facts. Doctor's reports is an evidence. Somebody hearing me? Is an evidence. This is what doctors said. They said there is cancer somewhere, not in your blood. They said there is this somewhere. That is just a data. That is what is a fact. Some people are holding on to the fact of your account balance. What I have in my account cannot sustain me for the rest of this week. That is a data. Some people are holding on to the fact about their age. Oh, I'm getting close to 40. How will I get married? It's a fact. But what is the truth of the situation? What is the truth of the situation? You are never alone. God is with you. Hello? If you like, you can gather 550 facts together. It's not equal to one truth. Is somebody hearing me? The truth of the situation is that God is with you. God, I said God is with you. And you are never alone. You will not end your life that way in the name of Jesus. But you know, you cannot know the truth of your circumstance until you have heard from God. Page 121. Until you hear from God. So it doesn't matter what the doctor's report says. It doesn't matter what your age is saying. You are advancing in age. It doesn't matter what they are saying. What you need to do is to do what? Hear from. Tell somebody, hear from God. What is God saying, telling you? Ask your partner, what is God telling you? You know, if the doctor says you are going to die and Jesus says you are going to live, which one will stand? The word of God says, I shall not die, but what? I shall live to declare the works of the Lord. That shall be your portion in Jesus' name. So if you are looking for truth, look for Jesus. John 14 verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus Christ is the truth. So that situation is not the truth. They are just facts. And the truth will override the facts in Jesus' name. There was something that happened in Mark chapter 4. The disciples were in the boat during the storm. What are the facts of the situation? There was a storm. Abi? And this storm, there was a raging of waters. They were about to sink. They were drowning. Those are facts. Anyone that says, have you been traveling somewhere and you see a particular trailer doing as if it's going to fall down? And people say, But eventually the thing stops. That's what is happening here. There was a storm, raging storm, facts. They were about to sink. But what is the truth of the situation? The truth of the situation is that the truth was there. The truth of the situation is what? The truth was there. Jesus was there. He was the one who initiated the journey. And he was there with them. You know, he was the one that said, let us go to the other side. Let me tell you, any journey that God has initiated in your life, tell somebody, calm down. You remember that boy? Tell your partner, please be calming down. Tell your partner, be calming down, be calming down. If God initiates any journey in your life, it doesn't matter the raging storm. It doesn't matter whatever. Calm down. Tell yourself, I will calm down. Because Jesus Christ is with you in the journey. Say, Jesus Christ was sleeping. And, you know, I love one of the hymns that we sing. No storm can swallow the ship. Where lies the master of heaven and sky? You know that song? Peace be still. There is no storm that can swallow the ship where lies the master of earth and sky. As long as Jesus Christ is with you in that circumstance, relax. As long as God is with you in your marriage, you know that you didn't begin it on your own. It was started on the premise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Relax. As long as that's business, God initiated you to do it. It doesn't matter what's happening. Relax. As long as God is with you, relax about your health. So that circumstance is not what will tell you the truth. The truth is that Jesus Christ is with you. So don't evaluate your situation until you have heard from Jesus. His truth. That's what page 122 says. Don't ever evaluate your situation until you do what? Until you heard or you have heard from Jesus. John chapter 6, verses 5 and to 7. The feeding of 5,000 hungry people tells us about another circumstance. Let me ask you, what are the facts of the situation here? What are the facts of this situation here? Number one, the location. You know, Joker, he crossed to the other side. And they were the one that followed him. So it was remote. It was far. So you can say, location was very far. It was very far. Maybe we should read John chapter 6 first so that you can understand what I'm talking about. John chapter 6, verses 5 to 7. I will just give one or two personal testimony to this, and then we will close for this service. John chapter 6, verses 5, from verse 5. John chapter 6. You know, from verse 1, Jesus Christ calls to the other side and they follow him. But in verse 5, when Jesus Christ looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to who? To Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Verse 7, Philip answered him, it will take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each of one to have a bite. So I'm coming back. What are the facts of this situation? Number one, location. The number of people to be fed, Abby. At least about men. How many of them? How many? 5,000. They didn't count women and children. Let's say maybe, okay, let's just stay with the number that God, I mean the Bible gives us. 5,000 people. So the number. What about, another fact is about the time it will take to get the food. From that place, are they going to cook the food? Are they going to, no Mr. Biggs at that time, any fast food to just hire? Where we're going to get 5,000 to buy food to feed 5,000? Those are facts. But we have to look at what is the truth of the situation. You know, why Jesus was seeing opportunities. You know, Jesus initiated this discussion. When Jesus looked, he saw the great crowd coming. He saw them. And he told Philip, where shall we buy? Why Jesus Christ saw opportunity to join God in what was doing? He was doing. What did Philip see? Philip saw impossibility. Say, this is not possible. This is not possible. Have you heard some things that you say, Pastor, it's not possible. It's not possible. It's not possible. But you know, Philip didn't answer the question Jesus Christ raised. Did he answer the question? Did Philip answer the question? What was the question? Jesus said, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? What was Philip's answer? Philip said, it will take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Did he answer the question? If it were to be a jam question or why question, it's F9. Where can we buy? What should the answer be? I need to go and check. I need to find out. But what was his response? It will take more than half a year's wages. You know, sometimes when God is calling attention to something, we complain. And when we complain, we complicate our matter. And when we murmur, we mess up our situation. Where can we buy bread? Where can we buy bread for these people to eat? Oh, no. It will take more than half a year's wages. You know, Philip sounds like a rational thinker. Are you hearing me? A rational thinker. Maybe like a good economist. Today, if Philip were to be in our congregation, maybe Philip would have said, this thing you are thinking about is not in the budget. It's not in the budget. We didn't make budget to feed 5,000 people. It's not. It was rational. An economist thinking, well, if I say it will take half a year's wage. Mr. Jesus, this thing you are talking about is not in the budget. It's not. Even if you do supplementary budgets, how much are you going to use to feed 5,000 people? It's not. Somebody say it's not in the budget. I say it's not in the budget. But as God cater for it, God has made provision already. His response seems logical. Seems good. But ministry is not run by logic. You don't run ministry by logic. Ministry is about joining God at work. Because there are things that you don't prepare for. Jesus Christ didn't prepare that 5,000 people would just come. Bah! And the God that is saying, where do we buy? He only wants you to tell me, I'm working somewhere. Can you join me? Just tell me, where do we do this? Not for you to be complaining. How do we do this? How do we do that? It's about, ministry is not about thinking rationally. It's not about logic. It's about God opening our eyes to see. It's about God. It's about what God is initiating for us to do. It's about what God has initiated for us to do. And I want to say, Ikoyi Baptist Church, whatever God is leading us to do, God has catered for it. If God is asking us to begin a school, he has catered for it. If God is asking us to open project, farm project, he has catered for it. If God is asking us to build places where people will be fed, he has catered for it. If God is asking us to have a musical studio, he has catered for it. Whatever God is asking us to do, if God is asking us to plant churches, if it is God initiating us, he has done what? He has done what? Somebody say, God has catered for it. There is nothing that God is asking you to do that he has not catered for it. You are not the one to be debating the budget. You are not the one to be talking about it. It's not possible. Where do we buy bread? Just tell me, and then I will empower you. I want to let us know this morning, church, that a supply system that is in God can never fail. If our supply system is in God, it will never fail. It will never run dry. Let me share a testimony before I round off. You know, I spoke with us some weeks ago when I had the opportunity to teach Unit 3 about my call to ministry and how I didn't want to respond and how God eventually took me and captured me and I surrendered to him. I had the crisis of belief in my life and eventually God helped me to adjust and I went in to respond to him. It was a very tough one. I wish God would change his mind then. Just change your mind. I don't want to be a pastor. But God didn't change his mind. It was my mind that God changed. And God adjusted me. So I went through this crisis of belief. And the most difficult one, again, after I surrendered, was provision. The day of resumption, I shared this with my Experiencing God class group. When I resumed in the seminary in 1995, I didn't have a kobo. I didn't know where the school fees would come from. In 1995, they were to pay 20,000 naira as school fees, and then about 15,000 or so for the boarding fee, the food you eat all through that particular year. And then that's about how much? About 35,000, Abi. That 35,000 was like 400,000. It was like 500,000. Where do I get this money? Before I resumed in seminary, you know, usually you go to your church. I went to my church. The church said, wow, this is a wonderful one, but we don't have money this year. Maybe next year we'll do something. They pleaded with me that, please, we'll not be able to support you. Of course, they recommended me, but they said they couldn't support this year. And I understood with the church. I went back to the church that we have been before moving to Ogbomosho. And I went there, they said, and because they told me to come, that they were going to have church in conference. So at the church in conference, after they discussed everything, right at the church in conference, they said, we cannot sponsor him. So they didn't even give me my transport money to go back. And I left. I said, and I came back to seminary. I said, hey, God, you see now? See now? It has finished. So what are we going to do? But the day of resumption came. My dad and my mom, they were able to buy mattress. So I packed him. I resumed in seminary. Where would the money come from? We were supposed to pay before the end of the week. To cut the long story short, because of our time, about maybe Tuesday of where the money was, we were supposed to pay before the weekend. I was just coming out of the department. As I was going out, my HOD then, missionary, Dr. Davidson, is back in the United States now. You know, usually we open the door of his office. As I was going, I said, Kole! Yes, sir. And I went back to him. Have you settling down? I said, I'm trying. How is everything? I'm fine. I would just say, fine, fine, fine. But in my heart, I know that. There is problem. You know, I said, have you paid your fees? I said, no, sir. You've not paid? Have you paid this? Do you have have you bought your suit? You know, as a seminary student, you must buy suit. It must be a dark suit. Either navy blue or black, pure black suit like this. I said, no. Because I told my people in my group, I said, I didn't have suit, I had coats. You know, there's a difference between coat and suit. It wasn't black one or dark one. Say, Say, how much would that be now? He was calculating on his head. All right, now pick a pen and paper. School fees, boarding fee, suit. What about shoe? Black shoe. I said, yes, yes, shoe. He wrote a black shoe. Ties? Yes. You need about 3 ties. Shirts? Okay, maybe to start with, you need about 4 shirts. What about socks? I'm telling you before God. And he was writing everything down by himself. The only thing he didn't buy underwear for me, pants. He listed everything beyond what I can even remember now, one after the other. And he gave me a note. He said, I'm adding 5,000 naira as pocket money. Take it to mama. That's what we call his wife. Take it to the house. And I took the note to the house. And they counted the money. Everything. He counted everything. When I called my mom, she was crying. She was crying. My dad said, this is not possible. I said, it is possible, sir. He counted everything. And I went, I paid the school fees. I paid boarding fee. I went, I bought suits. I bought shirts. I bought socks. I bought shoe. I bought so many things. And I had 5,000 naira pocket money. After I've wondered, say, God, I beg this call. I beg. You can see now. I can't go. No money. God arrested me. Those were the facts of the situation. God brought me to the truth. God helped me to adjust my life. God showed up for me and I adjusted to his purpose for my life. Almost 26 years after now, I have never regretted. I have never regretted. There have been challenges, but that God called me. I was even saying, God, why did you wait for this long? I would have come earlier. God showed up. And that was just the beginning. Throughout, this family, after I returned, they would say, okay, another session is beginning. What do you have now? And I would tell them, because after every 4th year, you go for vacation ministry in different churches. And every church that I've gone for vacation, after about two months of staying with them, the churches will contribute money and everything. And I will go back. I will have almost half of the school fees. And with other gifts, Baba will only call me. That's my HOD, Dr. Davidson. And you can find that you see her life up to today. By the way, when we traveled to the U.S., we visited him with my wife to say, thank you. Thank you. Anytime I come back, Baba will say, what is the balance? Just tell him, go and take it from Mama for 4 years in seminary. For 4 years. I have seen incredible things in my life. Just hearing God, listening to him, just obeying him. I've seen how God has showed up in many ways. It is too late for me to say that God is not faithful. God is too faithful to fail. All he is waiting for is for us to adjust, to listen to him. God still speaks. I say God still speaks. God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through prayer. God speaks through circumstances. God speaks through the church. You heard today. You heard last week. Our pastor said God speaks. If the church is saying we are doing this, that is God speaking. And God can use it to speak to other people because you are unique in his body. You are unique on your own. And that's why when we come for meeting, it's not only your perspective that matters about every other thing. It is about what God is saying through you. Because you are unique. You are irreplaceable. God placed you in this church specifically for a point. If you truly listen to God, he will never disappoint you. I'm a living testimony that God never fails. He only needs for us to surrender to him. It is exciting to know that the Almighty God speaks to us as children. The question now is, are we hearing what he's saying? I pray that God will help you. God will help me to hear what he's saying. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Shall we pray together?
We hope you were blessed. Ikoyi Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 5-7 Latif Jakande Road in Ikoyi. Ikoyi of Lagos State, Nigeria. You can find us on Facebook at Ikoyi Baptist Church or reach the church directly via phone at 0163-20485 and 0163-20486. For more information, please visit the church website at www.ikoyibaptistchurch.org.